Hello. Thanks for listening to this episode of Where Are You Going? And a special greeting to Philip, Jesse and Marianne, who've all left lovely reviews online. If you want to support the podcast, there's now a button on the website, whereareyougoing.co.uk, where you can click to donate. David, Tim, Tamsin and Clive, thank you for your coffee donations. This episode was recorded last month in Middleton, a town bang slap in the middle of Manchester and Rochdale. My microphone was spotted by a woman who was hurrying through the drizzle, so I stopped to ask. Where are you going?
Into the shopping centre.
Oh, what do you do? What are you looking for there?
Not really looking for anything. Just going to one of the shops that has food, you know. And then I'm going into the cafe upstairs with my friend.
For lunch?
No, I don't buy lunch. Just a hot drink, probably.
Okay. And what do you do with your days normally?
From getting up, get my breakfast, read my scriptures. I'm reading the Book of Mormon at the moment because I'm a member of the Mormon Church.
Oh, interesting.
Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So we're studying the Book of Mormon at the moment at the church. And then I come down to Middleton, get a newspaper on the bus, the metro, free paper. And then I get a few bits of shopping that I need. And then I go home, have lunch, do jobs at home. Watch Sky News. I always like Sky News, you know. And then it's time for tea, maybe, after I've done a few jobs. And then when it's time for bed, say my prayers, which I do in the morning as well, every day.
And, what do you pray for?
First of all, we thank God for everything that he's given to us. You know, thank you for my family. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the Preston Temple, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren?
Great-grandchildren.
How did that happen? You don't look old enough to be a great-grandchild.
I've got six children, but they're all grown up and married. There's seven grandchildren and 10 great. And then I pray to keep them safe, watch over them all, keep them safe.
How did you get into this religion? Was it something your parents got you into, or did someone tell you about it?
I met the missionaries in the street when I was 16. American missionaries, only young guys, about 19, 20. They stopped me just up the road, actually, and said I'd heard of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I said no. And they told me about it. And they said, could we tell you more? And I said, well, yeah, you know, I was only 16. So they came to my house that very night, and my mother listened, and they asked us to read the first few pages of the Book of Mormon, pray about it if it was true, the Word of God. We did that, and then we got baptized after a week.
A week?
A week, because I knew straight away it was true.
How did you know?
I just felt in my heart it was true, that what I was reading was true.
How did it change your life, or has it changed your life?
Well, yeah, because...
Were you so young?
Am I?
You were.
I was so young, yeah. Well, what it was, my friends had... a couple of friends had taken me to the Church of England, different churches, and I didn't feel anything. And I always used to think to myself, what's the purpose of life? Will I see my mother again when I die? And... the church gave me those answers. So the way it's helped me is we don't smoke, we don't drink tea and coffee, we don't drink alcohol, because they say that they take your freedom off you because you're addictive. So I didn't smoke anyway because I was 16. I didn't drink. I just had coffee and tea, and I gave that up straight away. And the way it's helped me is I know that I'll see my mother again, because she's gone on to into the spirit world. And also I've lost two sons. One of my son was 29 and he was killed by a speeding driver. And the other son was 20 and he took an overdose over a girl. As a girl he started going out with, she was on drugs and taking money off him all the time. And he was very quiet. And he didn't tell me, you know, and he just took a big overdose.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. So, because of the church, I can forgive that man, the speeding driver, you know, not hold any malice, and I can forgive. And also, I know that I'll see my sons again in the next life.
I'm very interested in the idea of forgiveness and what that felt like to forgive the person who killed your son.
Yeah.
Do you remember what that felt like or what it feels like now?
I knew that I was doing the right thing, and I just felt God will want me to forgive anyway. And if I held a grudge over that person, it wouldn't help me. It would make me always feel a burden, like a weight on my mind that I'd not forgive. You can only look forward with hope in Jesus Christ that you'll see your sons again, you know.
Tell me about your boys.
It was very full of life, always bouncing around. he used to say, come on, Mum, you know. He was popular with the girls. Yeah, he was just a very happy, bouncy young man, you know. And my kids have all been baptised, so they all should have followed the right path. But they didn't. They fell off. And of course, when they get teenagers, they do tend to go into a bit of smoking, drinking, whatever. So, he went out with his friend one night in Haywood, and they must have had a drink. And then coming out, in the pub actually, they met this man who his friend knew, and he offered them a lift home in his car, the man. Now, he shouldn't have done, because he'd been drinking. He shouldn't have. But my son apparently wouldn't get in the car, and he started walking, it's in Haywood. And maybe, I don't know the answer to it, they've never told me, maybe his friends stopped the car and said, oh, come on, get in, or whatever, you know. My son would never get in a drink driver's car, but for some reason he got in. And the driver went up a lane which is notorious for bending the road for accidents. He whipped up there with his in his car, the driver, and he hit the lamppost. My son got thrown out into the lamppost and got killed instantly. His head all bashed in, you know. And the others were okay, nothing happened to them. And then the police just knocked on the next day morning and just said, there's been an accident. And when they say that, you know, don't you? He said, can I come in? And then I had to go and identify my son with his dad at the mortuary, which was awful, because his head was all bashed in and everything, and it was terrible, you know. And then I had to go, the driver had to go to court over it, and his friend wrote a letter to the Middleton Guardian newspaper, which was here local, and wrote that the driver, his friend, shouldn't go to court because he's not done anything wrong, he's not a criminal. And I wrote back to the Middleton Guardian and put, is a criminal on three accounts. Anyway, we had the court attendance, and my family were with me, and his family were with his family, you know. And they wanted it adjourned so that the guilty man could have Christmas with his girlfriend and children. And I said, no, it's to go ahead. My son's got two sons. We've not got my son for Christmas, and the boys haven't got the dad, and it's to go ahead. So it went ahead, you know. And they were blowing kisses to one another in the door, him and his girlfriend. I love you, I love you. So it's a mockery, you know. And he only got 9 months. He was out after 9 months. He said he'd not been guilty of speeding. Anyway, what they did, I think they said they could prove that he was speeding by the tyre tracks. And he was doing 80 in a 30-mile zone. And they said if he admits it, he'll get a shorter sentence. So I think he was out of prison after 9 months, you know.
Which isn't very long.
Just after that, I saw his girlfriend and everything. You know, I didn't feel any malice, because we've got to forgive, haven't we? And it's not her fault, was it? She had little children, you know.
When did that happen? How many years ago?
Quite a few years ago now. I can't think, you know. He'd be in his 40s now. He was 29. It's gone out of my mind because of remembering it, you know.
Yeah. You miss him?
Yeah, I do, yeah. And it used to be the first thing you thought of when you woke up, the last thing when you went to bed. But that went at the back of my mind, you know. because you can't dwell on it, because it makes you sad and, you know, and that. You've got to put it back in your mind, go forward with hope that you'll see them again. So I've got 6 children. Well, I've got 4 now.
Well done to you. Thank you for telling me.
And I'm a teacher, a Sunday school teacher at the church.
You like children?
Yeah, I love children. I teach 3 to 6-year-olds.
Oh.
And I teach them singing. I teach them the songs.
You're a born leader then.
So basically, I love music. I love the church. I love the children. I love my family. I love teaching the kids. And what more can I say, you know?
You're peaceful and happy then, despite everything.
Yeah. I think positively. Don't look back, because you can't change it. Just live in hope that you'll see them again.
I love that.
That's God's promise. That's why Jesus Christ died, that we might be resurrected, you know. So that is the promise, that the blessing, what he's given us, isn't it? That eternal life.
Thank you.
If ever you get the chance to get the missionary stop you to read the Book of Mormon, you'll know that you might remember that I've told you about it. And anyone listening, if you get your chance to read the Book of Mormon and find the true church,
which
is the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints.
So nice to meet you. Have a great day.
Oh, thanks so much.
I was really struck by this woman's sense of utter peacefulness. Thanks for listening, and happy Easter. My name's Catherine Carr. The team at Loftus Media produce these episodes.